listening to Stateside, I'm Cynthia Canty. Space is, as Star Trek's Captain Kirk observed, the final frontier, and it is constantly yielding surprises and discoveries. The latest discovery? Our Milky Way had a sibling, and that sibling galaxy came to an unhappy end, shall we say, at the hands of our closest neighbor. University of Michigan astronomer Eric Bell is here to tell us more about this long-lost sibling. So, Eric, you and your colleague and co-author Richard D'Souza have found the evidence of this long-lost sibling, and its name is?
M32P.
M32P. So where was M32P?
So it was one of Andromeda's satellite galaxies. It was the largest of Andromeda's satellite galaxies. We no longer see the main galaxy now. We just see the core of it in a galaxy that we call M32, okay, which is why we call it M32P. It's the progenitor of M32.
Okay. And was M32P a big galaxy?
So we think that it was about half the size of the Milky Way, give or take. The whole process for figuring this out was kind of looking... In some level, if you have children, then when they eat, there's breadcrumbs all over the floor. Yeah. And you can figure out by looking at the breadcrumbs all over the floor what a child ate for lunch. And so at some level, we looked at the breadcrumbs diffused around M31, the Andromeda galaxy, and realized that this looked like a galaxy that was much larger than we expected, about half the size of the Milky Way. We realized it was also associated with this core M32, a Messier 32 that we see today. And so we called it M32P. It wasn't very imaginative, but there you go.
There you go. And we need to bring everybody on the same page of something that might be not a familiar term, but more familiar than we think, the local group.
Absolutely.
What is the local group? Because this was part of it.
So we live in a galaxy,
the Milky Way.
And then we have a big neighbor, the Andromeda Galaxy. And those are the two largest galaxies in the nearby universe. The nearest ones, other than that, that are large, are about 10 million light years away. Take a very long time to get there, even with a fast car. And there's two big galaxies and then a whole bunch of order 100. We don't actually know how many little galaxies there are in a local group. But we really thought there were just two big ones. And one of the things that's exciting about this is that we realized that, hey, 2 billion years ago, when there was no life on land on the Earth, there was a third big one that was about half the size of the Milky Way. And it was a neighbor of Andromeda Galaxy and got kind of shredded by it as time went on and spread the debris kind of all over the place for us to discover today.
Well, in fact, that's what I want to talk about, is what I kind of think is the sorry end of M32P, shredded and cannibalized by Andromeda. How does that happen? What's that process?
It's the same physical process as the tides that the moon creates on the Earth, is that there's a difference in gravity from the moon from one side of the Earth to the other. So that stretches out the Earth into a little oval shape. If you imagine being next to a very big galaxy like Andromeda, it can stretch out M32P so much that it not just stretches out, but it actually shreds into long trails of stars that eventually mix up to form this kind of diffuse envelope, or the breadcrumbs.
The breadcrumbs.
Yeah, exactly.
That you found. So tell me, what was that moment like when you realized that you had made this discovery based on these breadcrumbs?
So discovery is often a process, not an event. Mm-hmm. And so there were a number of like, oh yeah, this makes sense. And oh, this is exciting. But really we've been working on these envelopes of breadcrumbs around galaxies for years around our galaxy, the Andromeda Galaxy, and other galaxies. We embarked on this project just trying to use computer models to interpret, if I see this set of breadcrumbs on the ground, if they're, you know, kind of bready looking, then was it bread? If they're cakey looking, was it cake? If it looks like bits of broccoli, was it broccoli? And through using those computer models, we wanted to figure out how to interpret these halos around galaxies. In Andromeda's case, Andromeda's halo is so distinctive that it really forced us into this corner of, hey, there must have been something very big that was relatively recently for astronomers shredded by the Andromeda Galaxy. And then
2 billion years is relatively
years ago,
recently.
It's recent for astronomers. And what was really exciting about it is we were like, wow, this has to be wrong. Like, there's no way, because we should have known this. And then we went back and we looked at all the results from the last decades and realized that it was kind of staring us in the face, but we hadn't really been thinking about about galaxies in this way of expecting it to have disrupted such a big galaxy. Yeah. We had thought it might have disrupted lots and lots of little ones, but we never thought it really took out a big one like that.
Well, now I have to ask you this question. We're part of the Milky Way. Yep. Our closest galactic neighbor is the Andromeda Galaxy, yep, which shredded poor M32P. So could the Andromeda Galaxy do the same thing someday to the Milky Way, to us, cannibalize and shred?
Well, so the answer is yes. But we're kind of going to shred each other. So Andromeda and the Milky Way are about the same size. So it's not so much Andromeda being a bully. It'll be more that Andromeda and the Milky Way get an enormous argument, and they completely shred each other. And so we expect the result. It actually depends on the collision. And we don't know how that's going to go yet, because that's in about 4 or more billion years from now. So we don't have to worry about it.
Nobody
personally
needs to lose sleep.
Our children's might worry about it. But yeah, so in something like 4 billion years, the two will shred each other and end up probably in somewhat of a ball-shaped galaxy.
What can astronomers learn from M32P?
So first of all, we've always been kind of uncertain as to how galaxies act when they collide. We see galaxy collisions when they're happening, but we don't often see the end effects many hundreds of millions or billions of years later. So we don't have an idea of the life cycle effects of this type of collision. And in this case, we actually do, is that we know what happened to Andromeda for the last 2 billion years. And so we can figure out, hey, this is the cause, what are all the effects? We can also do this for other galaxies. So this is something we're really excited about. We're actually writing proposals for Hubble Space Telescope right now to try and do this for other galaxies in the same vein of figure out, hey, which galaxy did it collide with? When did that happen? And then what were the effects of that collision on the galaxy itself?
What do you love about being an astronomer?
Oh, I love so many things about being an astronomer. I love being able to work with the wonderful students at the University of Michigan. I love being able to have the time and the freedom to think about everything. I mean, astronomers, it's the universe. Mm-hmm. And so you get to think about everything, and it's your job. It's kind of exciting.
Are we seeing youngsters still coming in wanting to follow in this career path? The reason I'm asking that is I'm a baby boomer. I grew up watching the astronauts. I watched, you know, Gemini. I watched, mm-hmm, you know, Mercury. I remember the Mercury Blast, so I'm certainly dating myself. But for our generation, that idea of space and exploring space and paying attention to space was huge. Is it the same for kids today?
I don't know if the space exploration aspect is the same, but there are tons of people interested in the universe, in trying to understand how the universe works. I mean, there is a timeless appeal to looking up and to seeing something. It's our closest touch to the infinite at some level, and that's very powerful for many people. So we have many students who are wanting to train in astronomy, wanting to learn about how the universe works. It's also actually a very good preparation for anything the physical sciences. So you learn a lot of quantitative skills, you learn a lot of physics, etc. So it turns out that even if you end up not being destined to be an astronomer or thinking, oh, that was fun, but no, it's actually great preparation for a variety of other career paths.
University of Michigan astronomy professor Eric Bell, he and colleague Richard D'Souza discovered the Milky Way's long-lost sibling, M32P. Thank you for sharing your work with us.
Thanks for inviting me.